song.
Beats will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Get to know people.
What are you gonna do?
Tell me.
Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family, Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope that you are well today on this Wednesday. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it is not, you know, don't.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
You know, you shouldn't be doing, because it's hot out there. Stay safe. Be safe. Hydrate. Seriously. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans. Thursdays, tomorrow, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday at 8 p.m. If it's 8 p.m. and it's Friday, oh yeah, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday from 5 to 6, Pinckney to Pinckney. Activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, on Sunday from 5 to 6. At 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's right, it's time for an awakening. Once again, time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's right, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com, because if you don't, who will? Brothers and sisters, let's start being very, and I know that you are. I know the brothers and sisters that listen to this program. I understand, you know, but please, emphasize that to other family members. Emphasize that to other people that you know. Support. And then you got to be that example. Okay? Support our businesses. Support American African-owned businesses. All right. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Taimba is ready to take another group of our people on the trip of a lifetime. His next trip is November 20th to December 1st, going to Tanzania. Then February 12th to the 23rd of 2026, Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026, Kemet. June 10th to June 22nd, 2026, Ghana. October 1st to October 12th, 2026, Kenya. November 19th to November 30th, 2026, Azania. April 1st to April 12th, 2027, Tanzania. June 10th to June 22nd, 2027, Ghana. He has another future trip to Kenya, September 30th to October 11th of 2027, and November 18th to November 29th, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Botswana. November 18th to November 29th. Also to remember, for this website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, you can buy land, you can invest, you can repatriate, all kinds of good stuff. And everything that you need to make that trip of a lifetime is on the website, brothers and sisters. So I suggest that you go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Now, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. He's in town, so give him a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habashaw Incorporated. Habashaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Vitally important. They do a number of programs, the Habashaw Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs. The Kashi Project in Ghana. Habashaw is doing the work, family. Support and go to HabashawIncorporated.org. Ledge, Land for Environmental Development for Group Economics, Brother Peter Brown. The Ledge Group. That's right. They deal in the area of human necessity, food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects, 6 different countries, and over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation. That's right, the Moses West Foundation. Talked to Brother Apollo. Moses West is doing good. The young brother is doing good, Brother Brown, who's changing oil into fuel. I mean, not oil. What is it that the brother is changing? He's being attacked. I'll say this, family. When you do something and you create something that challenges what Caucasians have done for so long and made so much money on, then of course they want to get rid of you. And this brother's had many attacks on his life, just like Ibrahim Traore and what he's doing with the Sahel and Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. They want to get rid of them. So what we do to develop independent thinking, and more importantly, what we do to develop a way for us to live on our own without anybody's permission, is definitely going to be challenged by these folks, because they want to make sure that their way of life, that their resources continued. So Moses West, who's been doing outstanding now, Brother Apollo told me that they have a machine, a high capacity machine in Jackson, Mississippi. That's right, in Jackson, Mississippi. They have a high capacity machine in Jackson, Mississippi, where they can just pump out water for days. Yeah, brothers and sisters, he's not looking for investors. This is not a monetary thing. He's looking for donations. He's looking for your heart to say, yes, water is necessary. Water should be free. Water should be accessible to any and everybody on the planet. Water is essential for life. Go to the Moses West Foundation MosesWestFoundation.org. MosesWestFoundation.org. And read about him to see for yourself. See what he has done. See what he's doing. All right. Homeland Village. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Open Tuesdays through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Brother Beeges got it going on. African Black Soap, holistic health care, body treatments, and oils, incense, CDs, DVDs, literature, jewelry, clothing, furniture, you name it. He's got it. They even have a vegan restaurant, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. They have community events, structured meditation sessions, chess club, healthy cooking classes, their tennis lessons, story time for children, school, homeschool meeting place, drum classes, roundtable discussions, periodic pilgrimages to Baba Dr. John Henry Clark's. Damn, family. Burial site in Columbus, Georgia. And of course, you know that I was there back in January. And yeah, 110 years. I was there back in 2014. Or 2015, January 2015. Yeah. So, let us get started. Let's get started. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, brothers and sisters, Mama Nia. She's retiring. And so let me see if I can find that right quick for us. I need to find that right quick for us, family. Yes, yeah, so I can give you the correct information, what's happening with the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And, you know, that also, too, remember I stated that she had fallen ill and she was closed for a while. Well, when I went to support Mama Bayina Bello in her new book, and she's having something, too, so I need to talk about that. But, yeah. So, come on, oh, she find that right fast for our family, so you can. Yeah. Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah, I'm gonna go to the time sensitive from Mama Ya, because I'm gonna talk about the things that Baba Barudi and Mama Yarp are doing. So, but Medu Bookstore presents Mama Nia's birthday party and pre-retirement fellowship. Join us to celebrate Mama Nia's solar return day and pre-retirement fellowship. Come and share your stories and offerings of love. That's next Saturday, family, those who are here in the Atlanta area. Next Saturday, August 9th, 2025, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Come celebrate Mama Ya. Excuse me. Come celebrate Mama Nia. Excuse me. Come celebrate Mama Nia's birthday and pre-retirement fellowship. She is one of the oldest, you know, bookstores. You know, there's not a lot of bookstores, African and American bookstores in our communities. We're in cities where we are sizable numbers, in communities that are predominantly us, there aren't. And we're blessed to have Mama Nia. We really are. We're blessed to have Mama Nia. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. And for those who are who will be in the Atlanta area, or in the Atlanta area, next Saturday, August 9th. Yeah.
August, Black August. We'll talk about that on Friday with our guest, Mama Nabantu of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and, of course, the Collard Green Festival. That's right, family, the Collard Green Festival. Yeah. The other bookstore that we promote is Brother Kazimdeh Ajamu's Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. And, of course, he made an announcement about the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar moving. It's not closing. It's moving. Moving from the Lithonia address to, and I'll get that for you because, you know, Brother Kazimdeh is vital in our community. But you can give him a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. Of course, where's that at? Okay. Take I-20 east. Go east on I-20, going towards Augusta. And as you approaching exit 74, take exit 74, Main Street for Lithonia. Take that exit, go to the stoplight, make a left onto Main Street, and about a mile, maybe a little bit less, the Black Dot would be on the left, the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. And, of course, chill out, buy things, and have some coffee, and just, you know, check it out. And then jump back in your ride. Go back the opposite direction. You were going north. Now you're going to go south. You're going to jump back on I-20 east, and the next exit, exit 75, is Turner Hill Road. Make a right onto Turner Hill Road, and then go three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market, the new Black Wall Street Market. Also here in the Atlanta area in the West End, is Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. And they're located 878 Ralph David Abernathy. Brothers and sisters, give the people of Wadada's a call. They have all kinds of stuff for you. All kinds. 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Yes. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia in Haiti. She's been educating and being a model for our young children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, up in the hills by the border between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. She deserves support. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash I-E-T, A-Y-I-T-I dot org. Sanjay dash I-E-T dot org. All right, family. I'm going to, I know I talk about Akabin and Baba Baruti, so let me talk about Akabin and Baba Baruti, because and he, you know, I talked to him the other days, you know, getting better. We hope all is well. As the summer progresses, we invite you to our exciting upcoming events. As always, we thank you for your ongoing support of our work and for your work on behalf of our people, Apibi Fahodiye, African Liberation Sovereignty. Okay, Akabin Institute Summer School Program, and that's ending. It's ending. Yeah. I'm quite sure they had a great time. This Saturday, the the quarterly gatherings, the Baba Rudy's presentation this Saturday from 12 noon to 3 p.m. is The Hunt is On, the online lecture series of Baba Bomani Baruti. This Saturday from 12 noon to 3. And the cost is $15 donation, 8 for Warriors in Training. And of course, you can go PayPal. You do PayPal. It's Yabarudi at Yahoo or Cash App. Sorry about that, family. It's PayPal or Cash App. Include your pertinent information. The hunt is on. Your name, your email address, so they can send you the streaming link. Okay? All right. And then from 4 to 6 this Saturday, Mama Ya, a quarterly session of women discussions. The topic, celebrating our villages. Same donation, $12. And $6 for teens, or those warriors in training. Same thing applies. Make your donation of $12 via PayPal, Yabarudi at yahoo.com, or Cash App, $YaMBarudi. Zelle, if you Zelle, Yabarudi at Yahoo, Linda Lloyd Crawford. Linda Lloyd Crawford. Provide your pertinent information, the villages, your name, your email address, and so she can send you the link and you can check it out this Saturday. Another event, Black Mothers and Fathers. Are you the parent of a preteen or early teenage daughter and feel not prepared or knowledgeable enough for her impending and important developmental stage? Join my free online seminar Saturday, August 2nd. After this seminar, you will know the following. What's being on your period is really about. The basic female reproductive anatomy and system. Recognizing premenstrual signs. All right. Register at www.fawohodiesura. I'll repeat, fawohodiesua.com. Okay. And of course, I mentioned Mama Nia's birthday party and pre-retirement fellowship next Saturday, August 9th, at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Ackerman Institute. That's right. The 2025 four-week online courses. They had Eurasian. They had Clarity. And now Menticide, August 6th through the 27th. It's every Wednesday from 7:30 to 9. Menticide. All right. Save the date, African Warriors Day. African Warriors Day, Saturday, September 20th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And, of course, more information to follow. African Warriors Day. Save the date. Ackerman's annual fundraiser in October. Please, family, make the call. Support what Brother Baba Barudi and Mama Ya are doing for our children, the education, the information. Support. Save the date. Kibuka. Annual Kibuka. A time to remember the Ma'afa through the eyes of our ancestors. Saturday, November 15th. A word to the wise. Now is the time to buy any African books, DVDs, or other media you may want in your library, because in the near future, these materials may be banned. Remember to buy us, to buy African, to buy black, to buy us. Please support Ackerman House, AckermanHouse.com, offering including books, courses, and lectures in DVDs and demand formats by Mama Yah and Baba Baruti. Okay? The following on-demand courses and lectures by Baba Baruti and Mama Yah are available at AckermanHouse.com. The courses, African Warrior Scholars, Asafo, Clarity, Complementarity, Erasion, Excuses, Womanhood, Manhood, Menticide, Message to the Warriors, Racism and Culture, and the Sex Imperative. These lectures, African Center Education and Complementarity. All right, the last message, Coaching for the Village, for couples, families, and individuals by Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. 1 or 2 hour sessions available Tuesdays and Thursday evening from 7 to 9. You can call them, you can email them. Coaching for the Village. All right, family. And if anybody wants that, I can email you because I have it. And I can forward that to you. Yeah, because my email is OSHI427ADE, A as in apple, D as in dog, E as in network, OSHI427ADE @gmail.com. And I'll forward that information to you. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 29th. The right of man to enjoyment of freedom is a settled point, and where he is deprived of this without any criminal act of his own, it is his duty to regain his liberty at every cost. William Wells Brown. There are still Africans in this world who have no fear of Europeans or their way. There are still Africans in this reality who refuse to compromise our children and ancestors for the delusional comfort afforded those who worship evil and disorder. They have not forgotten how to live and die for what we believe in, for what we believe in. These Africans should be honored above all others, and our services as warriors and scholars should always, unfailingly, be their footsteps. Ashe. Affirm, it is my duty to regain our liberty at any cost. Ashe. It is my duty to regain our liberty at any cost. July 30th. A child or nation which is carried too long will never learn to walk. A child or a nation which is carried too long will never learn to walk. Sam Greenlee. We have helped enemies who want to set our children up so they will ignorantly, impunitively walk into the controlling arms of the state, create such a need for attention in them that they will run screaming with joy to anyone who will applaud them. We have done this because we are without a vision except that which others play for us, because we have allowed ourselves to be carried for so long by the whims of others, cultural imperatives, we have forgotten what it means to stand on our own, and in many ways lost almost complete memory of who we are. With our assistance, our children have become even better than us at being anyone but themselves. For those who do not know who we are, this is quite understandable. But for those of us who do, there is no excuse. Believe it or not, there are still Africans who consider themselves serious and very African-centered warriors who send their children to schools with philosophies that they do not embrace. And they do not embrace us. They voluntarily do this because they see these institutions as safe places where their children can receive a quality education, continue to be profoundly and profanely spoiled, and learn a little of our history, our story, so their esteem can be propped up before being shipped off to a better, predominantly European racist institution. If we are to walk again as African people, we must teach our children to stand as African warriors, not crawl as imitation Europeans. Affirm, I will never allow my children to be turned into imitation Europeans. I say, affirm, I will never allow my children to be turned into imitation Europeans. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Family, guess what we're going to talk about today? That's right, family. Genocide. Genocide. You know, as I was debating to what to talk about today, I came across a piece from our sister. Well, I'm crazy about this sister. I'm sure her writings are just on point, man. Her satire. And that, of course, is Dr. Stacy Patton. Israel builds genocide theater for pleasure. Israel builds genocide theater for pleasure. I'm going to read that in the second hour. But I'm going to read, you know, genocide. You know, the people are exercising this genocide, which is real. In real time, you can see it because of the technology. You can see it as it happens in real time. When they were going through their situation, their so-called, and I mean that, so-called genocide. Because first, we had to understand what is genocide. Okay? We need to get a definition. And there are many definitions. That's the other problem, you know, with genocide. Because there are many definitions. But going through the directory or the dictionary, genocide is a deliberate and systematic extermination of a national, racial, political, or cultural group. The deliberate and systematic exterminate, that means you're erased, you're done, you're exterminated, you're done. So now, if you're still functioning, no, you were attacked, you were murdered, but genocide, it didn't happen because you're not erased. In fact, European Jews, because of what they experienced, are in the best position of any group of people on the damn planet. They have, as Paul Mooney used to say, they have the complexion for the protection. And you've heard me say this before. Nasser, who was the president of Egypt, it's a more better term, because they're white. But he said, these people left out of here, they was dark. And they came back, they was white. What's up? What's happening with that? In fact, the deep part about that, because they are not the Hebrews of the Bible. They're not the initial Jews. In fact, I don't know how you can even use the word Jew, because the letter J did not come into existence So Jews, Judah, Jerusalem, all the letter J did not come into existence until the 1400s, you know, the 15th century. Jesus, I know, and he said his name was Oshawa. Okay. Genocide is violence that targets individuals because of their membership of a group and aims at the destruction of a people. Raphael Lemkin, who first coined the term, defined genocide as the destruction of a nation or an ethnic group by means such as the disintegration of it, political and social institutions, cultural language, national feelings, religion, and its economic existence. During the struggle to ratify the Genocide Convention, powerful countries restricted Lemkin's definition to exclude their own actions from being classified as genocide. Yeah, I bet they did. Ultimately, limiting it to any of the five acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. While there are many scholarly definitions of genocide, almost all are international bodies of law officially adjudicated the crime of genocide pursuant to the Genocide Convention. Genocide has occurred throughout history, even during prehistoric times, but in particular, in particular, likely in situations of imperial expansion and power consolidation. It is associated with colonial empires and settler colonies, as well as with both world wars and repressive governments in the 20th century. The colloquial understanding of genocide is heavily influenced by the Holocaust, yes, as an archetype, and is conceived as an innocent victims being targeted for their ethnic identity rather than for any political reason. Genocide is widely considered to be the epitome of human evil and is often referred to as the crime of crimes. Consequently, events are often pronounced as genocide. Events are often denounced as genocide because they're not. Are the people still there? Are the people thriving? Are they doing okay? Have they been rewarded? Have they received restitution? Have they received reparations? Have they grown as a population? It ain't genocide. It ain't genocide. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk. That's what we're talking about today, family. And of course, you can always join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yeah. Genocide. Let me play this particular piece here.
Ongoing crime of extermination and acts of genocide in Gaza. They've undertaken deliberate actions that have deprived Palestinians of the water they need to survive. Israeli authorities and forces cut off and later restricted piped water to and within Gaza. They cut off and later restricted fuel and cut electricity, which disabled water infrastructure. They intentionally destroyed parts of Gaza's water infrastructure, attacked water repair workers, and blocked water-related aid from entering Gaza. Israel's actions have caused widespread disease, immense suffering, and likely resulted in thousands of deaths. These photos were taken after Israeli forces attacked a water utility warehouse that was supposed to be protected.
Everything was burned and damaged. Since then, it's very hard to respond for maintenance of the wash facilities.
Deliberate attacks on water facilities used by civilians are war crimes. Palestinians in Gaza have only been receiving 2 to 9 liters of water per person per day, which is well below the minimum of 15 liters of water required in emergencies.
We saw kids die daily due to lack of water. There is no safe water to mix formula for infants, and mothers who have just given birth often cannot hydrate themselves to sustain breastfeeding.
Hundreds of thousands of people have also contracted waterborne diseases, skin diseases, and respiratory infections. Thousands of people are likely to have died due to lack of access to water.
Countries should take effective measures to prevent genocide by Israeli authorities against Palestinians in Gaza. They should step up their support of civilians by ending military assistance, by imposing targeted sanctions, and by supporting justice efforts.
Yeah. Yep. I tell you, it's deep, isn't it? What they're doing, what they have done, you know. And the world is watching. You know, that's a different situation than what the European Jews had experienced in Europe. It's a difference. Yes. Persecution is, but still the treatment, overall treatment, you know. And there's always been some skepticism about did it happen, the numbers and so. And I don't give a damn about that. I really don't, family. Even if one person, so I'm not going to argue about 6 million, which of course I doubt that. I really do. But even if one person, if it wasn't six, it was five, it was four, it was three, two, one, whatever. It was wrong. But by the same token, because of your ability to manipulate and so forth, you dominate. And the feeling that this is the most horrific thing that has happened to humanity. It would be if your ass was gone. But you're not. You're still here. And what you have done is you're taking it out on all humanity. The European Jews dominate the planet. The European Jews control what's happening on the planet. The European Jews control the United States, which is the military arm of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege on the planet. The European Jews have nuclear weapons. The European Jews control so many things. Finance, information, theater, movies, God damn. Man, so no, this is not a Holocaust, but we're paying a hell of a cost for what has happened. Brother Irv, are you with me? Okay, Brother Irv, when you come back, unmute yourself. Okay. I thought when you
I'm right here, Bob Oji.
All right, my brother.
I'm right here, Bob Oji.
Okay, I got you. You sounded good. You sounded good, brother.
Yo. No, brother, you are right on point today. The European Jews have control. From what I've read, and I've not read as much as most people, but I've read a lot. The European Jew is the money changer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, that's why everything in this world revolves around exchange of money.
Mm-hmm.
Even your money may be in dollar bills, it may be in euros, it may be in rubles, it may be in land. Mm-hmm. It may be, in, you know, because before there was no money. So people traded to get things. But now we have the dollar bill, makes it a little easier. But the European Jew is a very interesting people, because they managed to take control of the media. The media fell backwards is what you think, and what you think is what you do. So whoever controls the media, Malcolm X talked about this. He said, "Whoever controls the media will control the people. Will control the world."
Yeah.
Because the media tells you what to think. We have American Africans walking around here talking about that the Jews are the chosen people. Who put that in your head?
Yeah.
Who told you that?
Yeah, the Bible. In fact, if you're a Christian, you are a serious ally of the European Jews, because the Bible has told you so. The Bible has told you that if you support them, you will be blessed. Because they are God's chosen people. Now, I understand something. I never bought into that bullshit, because the bottom line to me, if it's God, God should not be, you know, somebody who chooses somebody against all other humanity. If it is God, then God, you know, if you choose God, God doesn't choose you. You choose God. God is all-knowing, all-self, you know, and so you choose God. Not God chooses a particular people. That's discriminatory as hell. That's envious. You're causing dissension.
It doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. But sense has nothing to do with religion. Let me say it again for the people who missed that one right there. Making sense has nothing to do with religion. Religion is based on logic. It's based on faith.
Right. And belief.
Faith doesn't need to be explained.
Yeah.
It's a belief. So you know what belief is. Believe it. How you spell believe? In the middle, believe is the word lie.
Mm-hmm.
And the word. And some people think that's a sign trying to tell you something. When you believe something, you will fight, die, pass on to your children, and you cannot explain it. Or you can explain it, but it makes no sense. And that's all right. I'm not telling people to do as I do, be as I am. But I'm telling you that I am not going to follow this foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to follow someone who is telling me to follow them blindly, as if we're a bunch of sheep, and one jumps over the hill and down into the valley, and everybody else follows them. But they have to have a level of control over you, and that's why Africa. Oh, see, I heard something the other day that threw me for a loop. It said, and I read it online, that what the honorable was Rockefeller, one of them rich. Super uber rich white folks. They made people believe that oil was scarce.
Oh yes, no, yeah, that was that wasn't. I don't know if it was Rockefeller. Yeah, it was Rockefeller, because he was the first person, the first billionaire. Standard Oil. He created Standard Oil, so it was Rockefeller.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. But they made you believe that it was scarce, that there wasn't a lot of oil, that it was going to run out. We ain't gonna have and then they made it valuable to the point where people would. We start wars over it. The United States, most of the wars the United States were in were because of resources, because they wanted what they had. They wanted, I mean, why are we in Vietnam fighting halfway around the world, fighting in Vietnam to bring democracy? Because I don't actually know what democracy is supposed to do, but I know in my lifetime, it has not been a very pretty thing to force democracy down people's throats. You have to be, you know, you can't be a socialist. You can't, you can't be anything other than what we are, or you're wrong. And I'm not saying that they may not be or may not be, but who gives you the right to force somebody to be like you?
Mm-hmm.
Who gives you, and this is, Baba Oshie, I was thinking about it yesterday. This country has forced themselves on people.
Sure.
They forced themselves. And then,
and
people actually capitulate. They just say, well, this is, and well, all we can do. You know, but see, Africa is on some different, is on a different mindset, because Africa has finally realized that you can't sanction me. I can sanction you. You want what I have.
Right.
The cobalt that makes the cell phone.
Exactly.
That
you
don't
want
come
what
from
I
New
have.
Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come on.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that they have that, from the African, because I've been to Africa. I got off the boat. Out the plane and went to the church, and the first thing I see is a white Jesus on the wall in Africa. It bothered me. I said, why is there a white Jesus on this wall? And these Africans walk past this white Jesus as if, and they don't know that subliminally it's making you love the white man. Mm-hmm. Because the white man is on, it does it subliminally. And Baba Oshi, and I thought about this real quick before you move on to something else. I thought about this show, and it comes on 3 times a week, and you basically, if you really think about it, you basically say the same thing every day. And someone may say, well, why do you always say the same thing every day? Well, you didn't say anything when you went in elementary school when you saw those alphabets along the top of the wall every day. You didn't say that because that's how you learn. You learn through repetition.
Right.
And that's what we do on this show. If I say it enough times,
right,
eventually it'll get through that thick skull of yours.
It's positive.
It's
positive reinforcement. It's positive reinforcement. So I'm going to say it and say it again.
And that's what we do. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. And so people may say, well, if someone said something one time, it's the same thing that you were saying 20 years ago. Well, damn it, if you'd have heard it 20 years ago, we wouldn't be in this situation. Okay?
Yeah.
So don't tell me, you don't say that to them when you stand up, when you go to that Dodger game or that Orioles game, that baseball, you stand up and start singing that national anthem, but you have no idea what that's the second verse when it talks about the slavery. You have no idea what that song means, but you know that everybody else stood up and you have to be part of the, we have to fit in, because if you don't, you're a troublemaker, man. Why are you talking about Africa? You're not African. I've heard that so many times, Baba. It just takes me, I'm not African. Well, what am I? You're an American. What is an American? We're going to have a show about that one week. What is an American? What defines what an American is? Is Donald Trump an American? Is his wife one? Is anybody here in America? This country, all of you are immigrants. Mm-hmm. Stop it. We're the only race of people here who didn't come through Ellis Island. We didn't beg to come here. And now all of a sudden, the guy said, we ain't gonna be African American no more. We're black. What the hell is black, Baba?
That dude. Yeah.
What? Black, where you from? You from Blackville?
Yeah.
You from Black Asia? Where you from? What are you talking about? You sound stupid. You're the only people who run from who you are, because the white folks have told you that Africa is got jungles and they wearing diapers and all kind of foolishness. So you believe that instead of looking for yourself. You opened my eyes to things, but I research things. Man,
oh, sure.
I read a little.
Right on. That's what you do.
Man tell you something? Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now. Caucasians say something and you take it verbatim. Well, the white man said that they put the flag on the moon. You ain't seen no flag on no moon. And when you do see the picture, the flag is waving. Ain't no air on the moon. How is the flag waving in the picture? How that work? Look at it. Don't just ask me. Just tell me. Make something up. But the white man will say something. I say the white man, I'm talking about the Caucasians, the powers that be, and you don't question it. But yet, I'll tell you, you're African. Man, I ain't even got to be an African. Mm-hmm. Well, you look like one. Mm-hmm. No, Bubba, it's interesting. There's so many things to talk about right now.
Yes,
but
it
the
is.
Genocide, the genocide that you brought up, that is amazing, because it's in real time. I watch Al Jazeera news a lot.
Right.
And they show this. But NBC, ABC, they talking about Donald Trump digging up his nose or cussing somebody out. I don't give a damn about this boy. You know, Donald Trump is going to be just like all the others before him. And he's not the first one to be an isolationist. He's not the first, we going to America first. He didn't coin that phrase. And if you look in your history, we've had socialists before who tried to run this country and been in politics. So he's not doing anything new. He's just rehashing something that benefited white folks, and he's to benefit them again. Because that's what this is. Yeah. Baba Oshi, he just talked about some type of commission he's putting together to study people, to talk about people who won't be Christians. If you're not a Christian, he's going to try to pass laws so everybody got to be a Christian. No other
really?
Religion. But
I haven't heard this, man.
I am not lying.
This doesn't surprise me, man. This doesn't surprise me.
You know, I don't say nothing unless I've researched it. It's that unless you're a Christian, something is wrong with you. You got issues, and we're going to push back against you if you're anything but a Christian. So he's talking about the Muslims. He's talking about any other religion out here. He's talking about they can't be because this is a Christian nation. Christian nationalists. That's what this is about. Yeah. But when we say African nationalism, I want to, you know, I love Africa. I'm a dual citizen. Oh, you can't do that. You can't. That's you from France now. A French can do it. Now he's mad at France because France recognizes Palestine as a state. So he's mad at them. You can't recognize Palestine as a state. I wouldn't know a Palestinian about an Oshie if they walked into me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. But what I do know is what I see. And I see these people being starved to death. That's Jenna. They're not starving the old people. No, they're the starving children.
They're starving the women, everybody. This is just
they're
a,
talking
sad.
Legacy, it's, Baba.
Yeah. They're so let me legacy. Let me take this break. So when I come back from the break, I got the piece I'm going to read, and then we'll get back to some more discussion. So I know you'll
Please,
hang
I'm
on
right
with me,
here.
Dear brother.
I'm
appreciate you, man.
Baba.
All right,
thank
man.
You, Baba.
Love you, man. Peace.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back. Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and, of course, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Herbie Hancock. That's right, traitor. Love it. Love Herbie Hancock. Man. Genocide. Genocide. Yeah. I tell you. Acts of genocide. The deliberate destruction. The deliberate destruction of an entire. I don't even like to use race, but deliberate destruction of a race or a nation. Deliberate destruction of a race. The Holocaust, which is associated with European Jews. Now, understand the word Holocaust. And I'm going to go through that one, too, so you have a clear understanding. But what European Jews have done and what other people have done, they can co-opt a word, even though the word is maybe general in usage. But when you hear the word Holocaust, you automatically associate that with European Jews. It's almost like you hear, when you hear the word, and listen, family. I'm going to say it, and you may not want to agree with it, but when you hear the word slave, you automatically put our face on it. When you hear the word slave, when they talk about slave in this society from decades ago to this present, it has a black face. It has an African face. Because they co-opt the word and they make it and they use it in a way. Now, the Holocaust, one hell of a cost. The Holocaust. Because the word, the word is Shoah for European Jews. The word for African is Amangamizi, which is a act against a people so morally demonstrative. It's not just against the people themselves, but against all humanity. But the European Jew has co-opted the word. It's almost like we can't use the European, the Jewish Holocaust. We can't say African Holocaust. But no. You know, that's our word. Yeah. Okay. Get to my sister. On Substack, brothers and sisters, go to Substack.com. Many contributors to Glenn Kirshner, the Caucasian who's Jewish, who's an attorney. I love to hear his commentary, especially during that first Trump presidency from 2016 to 2020. And then thereafter thinking, you know, as he said, it's going to be brought to court and he's going to. he's still talking. David Pakman, his commentaries. Love to hear him. Khalil Green, a brother, Khalil Green. So there are some excellent, excellent people on Substack that you can check out for different concepts and commentary on issues of this day. And the one I've just become very fond of course, is Dr. Stacey Patton because of how she presents this. You know, she don't hold back. So we're talking about genocide. Israel builds genocide theater for pleasure. The misery is Gaza is now a tourist attraction with binoculars, selfies, and cool drinks. There are a few words strong enough, vile enough, to capture the absolute depravity of what's happening just beyond the border of Gaza. But here goes. Israel has turned genocide into a tourist attraction. The picture they have is the Israel flag. You have, one of those, if you on high up on a building, they have binoculars that you can look out and see, you know, very far. And then they have an area where there's cold drinks and so forth. You can sit down and talk. There are few words. Yeah. A fucking spectacle. They turned Gaza into a zoo of human misery, a safari for the soul dead, a place where Israelis can gather with tour guides and marvel at the carnage their government is unleashing on trapped individuals, on trapped civilians. Just outside Sirat, Israeli authorities have installed an actual viewing platform. Yes, a place where civilians can pay 5 shekels to peer through coin-operated binoculars or telescopes for 2.5 minutes of viewing to watch Palestinians starve, bleed, and die in real time. They can watch smoke curling from what used to be a neighborhood, bodies beneath rubble, aerial strikes lighting up the sky like fireworks over a graveyard. And behind them are vending machines, cool drinks, snacks, family with phones out taking selfies like they're at the Grand Canyon. Taking a breath, family. The machinery of genocide doesn't just run on bullets and bombs. It runs on delight, on the thrill of dominance, on the smugness of seeing someone suffer and calling it self-defense. This isn't just voyeurism. It's theatrical sadism dressed up as nationalism. It's Auschwitz with a souvenir shop. It's lynching crowds with smartphones. It's apartheid state pulling misery behind glass and charging admission. And this ain't new. No, brothers and sisters, for us, we know this ain't new. White supremacy, settler colonialism, and fascism has always come with a front row seat and a snack. Spectacular violence is part of the political ritual. From lynching in America, where Caucasian family, white families pose for postcards in front of a hanging corpse, to South Africa's picnic overlooking massacres. This is history repeating itself, picturesque and monetized. But but to see it now, so brazen, so unrepentant, while children in Gaza are being starved by policies, while humanitarian aid is blocked, while doctors operate without anesthetic, while toddlers are forced to drink salt water, and across the border, people sip soda and cheer. That's rotten humanity. These spectators are ghouls, relishing carnage, documenting genocide like it's a goddamn sunset cruise. The fraternal twins are here in America, posing for TikToks outside Alligator Alcatraz, the new prison carved into the Florida swampland where the U.S. detains Latino immigrants in blistering heat, surrounded by mosquitoes and crocodiles, caged like animals while the tourists float by with cameras in hand. It's the same disease, state-sanctioned sadism dressed up as security entertainment built on agony. And in both places, the message is clear. We can do this to you. And we'll enjoy every second of us doing it to you. And where the hell is the global outcry? Where is the global outcry? Where are the headlines saying Israel builds genocide theater? Where is the outrage from nations who claim to stand for democracy and human rights? How many more babies have to die before the world says enough? I'll tell you why there's no global outcry. Because Palestinians have been demonized out of the world's moral imagination. Full stop. Governments aren't silent because they don't know what's happening. They're silent because they do. because mass death in Gaza serves geopolitical interests, because Palestinian suffering has been normalized and rendered ambient noise in a system that only hears the screams of the powerful, not the oppressed. The United States bankrolls this. That's right. The United States bankrolls this. The European Union rationalizes it. Arabs all around turn their backs. The UN wrings its hands. And the media flattens genocide into conflict. Balance every Palestinian corpse with a headline about Israel's self-defense and cause starvation and humanitarian crisis instead of a damn war crime. There's no outcry because saying something would mean doing something. And doing something would mean confronting the empire, the settler colonial project of Israel, the military-industrial complex, the arms deals, the sacred surveillance technology, the Islamophobia, the white supremacy. It would mean acknowledging that a Western-backed democracy is orchestrating a genocide in broad daylight, and that makes too many people uncomfortable. And let's keep it all the way real. A big part of the silence is because they are brown, or they are Muslims, and stateless and expendable in the eyes of the global power. Palestinians are being left to die because the world has decided that their lives are too politically inconvenient to defend, because colonialism never ended. It just got better PR, because empathy is doled out based on proximity to whiteness, not humanity, because saying never again was always conditional. This is not war. It's not self-defense. It's not complex. It's genocide with a balcony view. The sadism isn't a side effect. It's the damn point. What's happening on that hilltop on Sadat is not just about surveillance or national defense or even propaganda. It's about pleasure. The sick, smug, spine-chilling pleasure of watching people suffer and knowing you helped, caused it, and no one can stop you. Sadism thrives in systems where violence is normalized, where victims are dehumanized, and where the perpetrators are rewarded with and confronted and with spectacle. This is what happened. This is what Hannah, are not meant by the cruelty of evil, but it's not banter. It's enthusiastic. It's cute. It's joyful. I didn't just build a lookout point. They built an altar to cruelty, a space where people can stand above the bodies, emotionally detached, intellectually justified, and spiritually dead, and call it patriotism. Sadism is a kind of intimacy. You have to get close enough to feel the other's pain, to know that there is pain, and to choose to enjoy it. That's what makes this so perverse. They're watching with binoculars. They're watching as children starve. They're watching as limbs are lost and mothers screaming as fathers dig graves with their hands, and they're not horrified. They're entertained. That's what apartheid does. That's what settler colonialism does. That's what white supremacy does. It doesn't just kill. It teaches people to enjoy the killing, to get off on it. And the vending machine is the final insult. Chill drinks while Gaza burns. Comfort while children dehydrate to death. It's not even metaphorical anymore. The sadism is literal. It's real. This is what evil looks like in the 21st century. Sanitized, branded, and advertised, and still so brutally intimate. This isn't war. It's a fucking theme park of depravity and suffering. People can watch for 5 shekels. And then history writes this chapter. It won't just indict the killers and spectators. It will drag the United States for funding the whole damn thing, the whole show, and the rest of the world for looking away. Damn. Yeah, family. Dr. Stacy Green, Dr. Stacy Patton, Substack. Check it out. Go to Substack. Make her and many others that you like independent. Yeah. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 if you want to get in on the conversation. The fact that, I mean, this is what she's saying is real. It's just like in 9/11, European Jews were on top of a building. I don't know how many floors up. This Caucasian woman saw him through her binoculars while she was looking at. She had a good view of the towers, and she saw these people cheering and dancing. These were some European Jews. I don't know if you knew this or heard of this. Of course, it should have, because it was, you know. In fact, they called them the Dancing Jews. And they were celebrating the destruction. European Jews. You know, my friend, Brother Muhammad Abdullah, and you've heard Brother Muhammad on this program a number of times. And one time me and him went to the delicatessen on the east side of Milwaukee, Benjamin's. Yeah. They used to have a mural there. A mural that could easily be interpreted, basically saying that we're in everything. We're in all areas of human activity. We're in everything. We're controlling. They don't have that mural anymore, at least not the time that I've been back to Benjamin's, which is quite a few years ago. But with me and Muhammad, you know, me and Muhammad have dealt with each other since high school. Not too much in high school. Muhammad was a thug. I'm just kidding. He's a good brother. But, you know, when me and him got into the NAACP, he was the executive director. I was the vice president. I became close friends at their time and stayed that way. And so we would, you know, go out and have a bite to eat and go to Benjamin's. And he said, let's go to Benjamin on the east side of Milwaukee. And that just interested me, that mural. That mural spoke volumes. It did. It spoke volumes. We're in everything. All areas of people. And just like Francis Cress Wells, he said, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege isn't everything. White supremacy isn't everything. And all areas of people activity. And she named those people's activity of race, religion, and man. The same thing with these European Jews. All throughout the administration here in this country and in other countries, especially Western countries, European Jews. They're the most dominant group. Now, I don't know about now, but that was the Biden administration. But I'm quite sure they still play an important part. Yeah. So they can do what they're doing in Palestine. Because they wanted it all. Balfour, the Balfour Declaration. Yeah. Yeah, who's Balfour? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go to Theodore Herzl. Who is Theodore Herzl? Mm-hmm. The European Jews. The Balfour Declaration. Just the person who I wanted to see and hear call, and that's him, Brother Paul.
Ah, wow. Good, great grand rising.
You too, dear friend.
Baba Ochi.
You too, my brother. You too. Let's keep on rising, okay? That's for sure.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. Yes, give, sir. Absolutely. Give, as we rise, we give thanks for life always.
Always.
Baba Ochi.
Yes, we do. Always. I don't take anything for granted.
Anyway. Not, absolutely not. How are you and your family?
Everybody's fine. And I hope that same is goes for your family, my brother. But you know,
I'm talking about
good. I'm talking about genocide. You know, the sister that writes an article for Substack, Dr. Stacy Patton, this one really caught me. So I had to do this one. And because when you're seeing genocide in real time, and you see the suffering, the deep suffering, and you hear Netanyahu say there is none. There is no suffering. You know, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? You know.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. You know, we got a station here in London. It goes by the title of LBC. I would describe it as a mainstream, mass-manipulating media station. You understand? And in more recent times, I've noticed, though, they're not as right-wing and ridiculous as they used to be. You know, you had some presenters on there who were clearly racist, you know, and sometimes people would ring up, and if they detected you were... a person of African descent or a person of color. Certain presenters, you know, you can detect when they just can't stand what you're saying. They just won't listen. They talk over you and all sort of thing, and then cut you off if you've got a point. That kind of stuff used to go on. But at least one of those presenters is managed to stay on the horse, and he's still there, but I noticed that he's changed a lot of his ways. He's become very mellow all of a sudden, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is they have some presenters on there, yeah? One particular presenters, and they say their narrative is... they try to present the image like they have difference of opinion, but they really push the same narrative.
Right.
But they suggest that they've had experts on, you know, so-called highly qualified experts, being that these characters used to work for the UN and their lawyers, high lawyers, like, you know, with titles. I say high lawyers, what I mean is experienced lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, many years experience. Some of them are judges. Some of them worked at not just the UN, the International Court.
Court of law
of human rights and all that sort of stuff, and one of them in particular, I think he was at the Nuremberg trials he done a book on it or something like that, but he was saying that it at one stage it didn't fit the category what they define as what you're suggesting, yeah. And you know what? It really bothers me, right? Because, okay, I mean, to me, in my mind, and I mean, I studied law, but I had so much contradiction in my mind because when you got a mind where you think, when you think a lot, it becomes a problem because some things you read make no sense.
Right.
Make no sense.
Exactly.
And then people try and make it make sense, but you know it don't make sense.
Right. And it cuts to question your intelligence. I mean? But, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've got to accept it, even though it don't make sense. You have to accept it if you want to go along to get along.
Yeah.
That's where the contradiction comes in people like myself. But what I'm saying is that when I was listening to him, some of the things he was saying, this so-called expert, made no sense to me. Because, look, Baba Ochi, if you, right, have, like, you know, you got aeroplanes, fighter jets, for instance, yeah? Mm-hmm. Fighter jets are not supposed to be used. I mean, it's ridiculous. Fighter jets, and under no circumstances are you supposed to be using fighter jets with missiles to attack civilians. And as I understand it, that even that, you know, that type of military is against incident. There's rules to, right. There's rules of engagement in war.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're using, and you're justifying it by saying you are chasing Hamas. Now listen to this. This is why I say, I listen to them. I'm thinking you're just chatting rubbish. And this is the expert, you know, because I'm saying, I mean, it doesn't take that much intelligence to work it out. You're chasing Hamas, and you're suggesting Hamas is a terrorist group. So what you're saying is that Hamas do not fit in the rules of war or engagement, because they're not a regular army part of the government. Mm-hmm. Or am I missing the point?
Right. No, you're not. Go ahead. They're a terrorist group. They're so underground. They're coming down.
Right.
Terrorist
exactly.
Group. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what I'm saying is, they're saying that. So, all right, the situation we had in England, right? Mm-hmm. We had what they call the IRA, the Irish Republican
right.
Army, for years.
For
yeah.
For years. Yep.
Right, and they were outlawed as a terrorist group, right? Mm-hmm. Now they had two sections to them. They had what they called the political wing, right? Those who engage in politics, although they couldn't really engage formally as politicians. But they were recognized as some political figures, okay? And then you had the armed group who would carry out attacks like bombings and shootings and assassinations and stuff like that. They would do that. That was going on in Britain, okay? So what I'm saying is, we had an experience of terrorists, but at no time did any fighter jet go and bomb the island or attack Ireland, mm-hmm. because that would have been considered totally, totally immoral and totally wrong, right? Yes, the army was sent there. We had the British army was in Northern Ireland, yes, stationed there. If you was a soldier in those times, you'd go and keep the peace, apparently, between the English-born Irish and the so-called Irish Republicans, okay? They were there to keep the peace. And yeah, there was all kind of things went on. They tortured the people, they captured mm-hmm. people who they considered terrorists. They kept them what they call internment without no legal representation, all those sort of things, and all kind of nonsense was going on. Yeah, but you never heard that missiles were sent to bomb up Ireland or anything
mm-hmm,
like that,
right.
because that would have been unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Ireland hasn't got an army. Ireland itself hasn't got an army.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why, but they haven't got an army. But look, the point I'm trying to make is that now we're hearing that Israel is allowed to use military equipment like missiles and
sure.
fighter jets to attack. I mean, that in itself, right, must step out of any rules of engagement, because those people don't have a chance to fight against that.
Right.
Not one chance. You understand? And Israel is considered a regular state with an army and a government, yeah, right. So and they don't even, and the other contradiction, they don't even recognize Palestine as an official state and government. So what gives them the right to attack them, right, as a government? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm making sense here.
No, but listen, so, Paul. No, Paul, you're making sense, but the shit that's happening doesn't make sense. So you can't make sense out of some shit that doesn't make sense. And
right,
they,
right.
And,
you see what I'm saying?
Yes. And of course, they believe they can do whatever the hell they want to do. They're God's chosen people. And so all those who are Christians bow down to them, because the book tells those people who are Christians that you must support the Jews. They're not the Jews of the Bible, as of course we know that, but they have taken that over. They have co-opted it. They are the chosen people, you know. They are the chosen people. No, they can't take a DNA test because the DNA test would forbid them to be in Palestine, or even to call it Israel, because that is not theirs. But they're taking
it. You know when our brother Irritated Junior was on, right? We had a disagreement, and he suggested that Zionism, right, and Judaism is one of the same things. That's what he was implying, okay. Right? Okay. Well, I fundamentally still disagree with that.
Okay,
and the reason why I'm going to say why that is a problematic statement, and that is a dangerous statement, because Zionism is a political, it's a political.
Right.
Theology. It's a political ideology.
Right.
Right. And the reason why one must recognize it as that, right? And because what they are, and this is why it's dangerous, because they themselves are trying to make it one. So if you are saying that, yeah, it's one, right? Then you are in league with them. I'm sorry. I have to put it like that, because let me tell you why it's dangerous, because they are trying to do that. And the reason being is, right? The reason being is because when you criticize the ideology, right, they try and make it, oh, like you're criticizing them. You understand? That's why they want it to be one. Mm-hmm. So anybody arguing it for want it to be one, they are making a fundamental error, right? They want you to do that.
Right.
Because what I'm saying is, like, if you, they say, oh, you talk about Zionism. You've heard even Joe Biden say he's a Zionist, right? And all this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I'm saying is them themselves are trying to make it the same thing when it's not. Theodore Herzl is the one they credit for that ideology.
Right.
You know, we never talk about, hear this. There's something called Wahhabism, yeah? Wahhabism is the same ideology but for Islam. But no one never mentions that. But that's what Saudi Arabia is, and it's similar to Zionism, okay? So what I'm saying is, if my brother's listening, that is a mistake, because that is actually what they want people to do. You understand? It's two different ideologies, right? And even Judaism, right? They try and suggest that Judaism is something to do with their DNA, like there's some, like they call it the Cohen gene or something like that, which I don't know if it exists or not. Like they say, if you're a Jew, you have this Cohen gene or whatever.
Yeah,
you understand?
Right. Yeah,
so
right.
They're trying to say that if you define as a Judaism, then it's to do with your genetics, which, like you rightfully pointed out, if you go to Israel, it's illegal to have a DNA test because there's no such thing as that. I don't believe.
Exactly.
I don't accept.
Exactly.
Right? And the fact of the matter is it would expose them for who they are.
For who they are.
You understand?
And the fact that they have no claim at all to the land which they now occupy and now will further dominate. No. So you're right.
So our prime minister is married to a woman, right, whose family is high up in the IDF. That means his children, because it comes, according to them, it comes through the mother's line, his children are Jewish. That's our prime minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, he's kept his mouth shut on the atrocities. They won't have nobody come on the radio and say it's genocide or anything like that. But just recently, he's now saying he's giving Israel, Netanyahu, up until September to change the position. Meaning that what he's saying to him is that if by September, if he hasn't stopped shooting at the Palestinians going for food, right, then they're going to recognize
Palestine
as a state, as a state.
Mm-hmm.
But that's ridiculous in itself. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, what kind of bargaining chip is that?
Right. That's the same thing that supposedly France has just done.
It's
symbolism.
They're all joining.
It's symbolism.
They're all joining together.
It's symbolism without substance. Okay. It don't mean
thank
shit.
You. Oh, that's brilliant.
Just flapping your gums. It's symbolism without substance. You know, because,
brilliant.
That's the reality. That,
absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I am taking that, man, from you. That is brilliant. Symbolism without substance. Absolutely on point. Symbolism without substance. And that's all what's going on.
Yes.
Pure symbolism without no substance.
At all.
Total nonsense. And then they use their narrative to try and bamboozle the people. They keep repeating the same bullcrap and think the people are that stupid. But you know what? In all honesty, when I listen, one of the whole heartwarming things is, right, the people are waking up, you know. I'm telling you, because a lot of people ain't buying that bullcrap. You can hear them when they ring the radio stations. People who used to just talk a lot of crap, they're actually seeing what's going on. So last thing I'm going to say, guess what they've done in this country, right? This is the only country what's done it. So what they've just brought in an act, yeah, right? The name of the act slips my mind. But what it means is that they're looking at all the things you're doing on the internet, right, with mm-hmm. the purpose of censoring you and shutting you down and blocking you off from going on to certain sites. Imagine that in a country which preaches this nonsense called democracy all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they've done. They just passed an act 2 days ago to do that. You understand? Yeah. Because the people are waking up. They're seeing through their nonsense.
Yes.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the work isn't in vain. You know, as much as people think, like Brother Irv says, we repeat the same things and whatever. It's not in vain because, you know, when I started this journey, certain things I understood and I tried to talk to people. They didn't have a clue, looking at me like I'm a madman, crazy out of this world. But those same people now are starting to see the light. Mm-hmm. You understand that there's a world agenda. And last thing, Baba Ochi, you know, in the Protocols of Zion, that book, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Yep.
Protocols of the Elders of Zion. It basically sets out all what they're doing today. It sets it out right back then.
Yeah.
Right? And your guy there, Henry Ford, wrote a book. I think it's called International Judaism.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he
told them. He said it.
Because they said, they said, oh, that book's not authentic. Oh, it was just made up and all this nonsense. Yeah. He said, okay, if it's all made up and whatever, right? How comes what you put in the book, we actually seen?
Mm-hmm.
He said that. Henry Ford said that. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, you know, this has begun a long time, man. Long time. But the people are waking up.
Yeah. 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 This is good. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. next 5, 10 years. That's for sure. 5, 10 years is going to be very interesting, you know. So, get your popcorn ready. Shit.
Well, you know, the young people, right? The benefit that it's going to be very interesting. You're right, because in truth, right, I had none of this. I had no access to this information. I only learned this, obviously, as an adult, right? But the young people can see it today. They can see it. It's online. It's there. They're and TikTok is their biggest friend, and it's all over TikTok, right? Mm-hmm. You're right. It's going to be a very interesting time. Very interesting. Yep. You know what I mean? We may have moved on by then, but the reality of it is, it's going to be very interesting.
Right. Oh yeah. We may have moved on, but, because of how the world is and how it's being shaped, this fascism, this authoritarianism, this dictatorialism, all this will have to be dealt with. It has to be confronted. If we're going to have a world we all can live and love freely in, my concern is the continent of Africa. That's where I put my focus, on the continent of Africa, because that is a home for African people. Everywhere else, throughout our disbursement, you know, I don't know where there's a place of us being dispersed where we are free. We can do business. We can have business. We're free to move amongst the people. You know, everywhere we are, we're relegated to the lowest social economic rung. We're despised. We're marginalized. You know, so I look at it like Get Out. There was a movie. Did you see that movie, Get Out?
Yeah.
Get Out. And that's the deal.
You know, as you say that, Baba Ochi, you know something, though, in all seriousness, yeah? And this is for every African on the planet. You know, for me personally, unless the African devises a self-defense plan, and what I mean by that is the plan must start in the mind. I've spent many years doing martial arts, and I know the first thing you do in the fight, you get in the right stance.
Yes.
You got to stand firmly, yes, because if you know, if you get hit, no matter how good you are, you get hit on the chin and you're not standing firmly, you're going to go to the floor.
That's right.
You understand?
That's right.
So you get in the right stance. And when I apply that to our people, I don't think our people are in the right stance, because a lot of us don't overstand this game.
Well, listen,
we don't overstand. We're wrapped up in hocus pocus, yeah, and fairy tales, and we don't overstand what's going on. And what I'm saying is, yes, I hear what you're saying about the African continent, but right now, as I see it, I might, you may correct me, but I don't think Africa can defend itself like that.
No, not, Africans no, need to get in their right. mind. At this very time, no, you're right. And I like the metaphor, get in the right stance. I used to box, okay? I used to box. I wasn't bad. I was 14-2 before I quit. You know, I understand. I loved the sport. I love Muhammad Ali. I came up boxing in the 60s, you know. And I know that, and I was a boxer. I wasn't a fighter. So I knew the right stance was not to give you the full front of me, but to pretty much give you the side and to jab and put my chin under so you wouldn't come over with an overhand right and clip my chin and knock me down or knock me out. I mean,
absolutely,
all of that shit.
Absolutely,
know? Yeah. So, you know, so I understand it. And you're right, unfortunately. We're not in that position at this time. But I think we all know that in order for us to do what we've got to do, we got to defend it. If whatever move we make, well, Paul, we have to defend.
Yeah. But that must start in the mind, Baba Oshie,
yes,
because right now, right?
Yes.
We're collaborators to our own downfall. Unfortunately,
yes,
that's the system,
yes,
they've set up.
Yes.
We are paying for this madness.
Yes.
We are doing that for, yes, our taxes and for our efforts.
Yes.
We are fifth columnists in this act. There's no denying it. We are the fifth columnists. And mm-hmm, still we wake up in our mind and make the decision that no, enough is enough. Then, mm-hmm, bruv, but then, Baba Ochi, this is the situation. And a lot of people ain't, it can be hard to persuade them to give up their little pieces of gold and silver.
Right, their comfort.
To recognize the bigger picture.
Right.
I'm telling you. So,
yeah,
you know, it starts in the mind. Self-defense,
right,
starts in the mind.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, Paul, I appreciate
you.
Love you, man. You have a blessed day. Hope you join us again on Friday and you have a good week, man. Okay,
absolutely,
Paul.
Absolutely.
All right,
thank
brother.
You very much for giving me the time.
Always, Paul. Peace. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor. Paul just said it. It begins in the mind. The mind. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. And to me, that is the key. That's why we should stand on that. That's where we should control that, control our population, control the land. Be players in the world instead of the pawns. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Peace to you.
Great show, Baba Oshie, as usual.